Thank you, Cliff. Well, good morning. Welcome to Blacksburg Christian Fellowship. If you would, please take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. If you don't have a Bible, there should be a black Bible directly in front of you. And 1 Corinthians chapter 16 is on page 962. We want you to have a Bible in front of you. That way you can verify and validate that everything I'm saying comes from the Bible. And I'm not just making whatever I say up. So it's really, really important. I think we need to be good students of the Bible. And as you're turning there, I just want to mention that you probably noticed in front of me and in front of you, we have the communion table. This morning we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. This is a really, really special time for believers to dine at this table. As Wendy mentioned, God so loved the world that he what? He gave. We have a giving God. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And we know that Jesus himself, he didn't, even though he was God, he didn't come to be served, but to serve. And to what? To give his life away as a ransom for many. And so we're going to think about that when we have the table together. But in preparation for that, in preparation of us worshiping a giving God and a giving Savior, we're going to unpack a passage, just four verses, that also deals with giving. And it ties in so beautifully. Our passage ties in so beautifully with the table, because just like we have a giving God, he calls us to be a giving people. And that's going to be the theme of our passage this morning. So with that in mind, please hear the word of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this special time that we have right now to hear from you through your word. Thank you that we get to sit around this table and dine with your Son, the Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray that just like you are a giving God and just like Jesus is a giving Savior, that we would be a giving people. We pray these things in his name. Amen. I think it's safe to say when it comes to the topic of giving that most of us here in this room would agree that giving is a good thing. And even if you're here this morning, I don't assume everybody's a Christian, but even if you're sitting here this morning and you're not a Christian, I think you would also agree, yeah, generally speaking, giving is a good thing. I mean, many of us have experienced that little sort of emotional high when at Christmas time there was someone in front of the grocery store ringing a bell and we put a few extra bucks in their little pot. Or most of us will agree that sense of joy when we were dining somewhere and the waitress or the waiter was exceptionally good, so we gave them an extra big tip. It felt good to us. And so just experientially, most of us, Christian and not Christian, would say, yeah, giving is a good thing. But of course, for those of us who are Christians, we would couple that, we would validate that, we would affirm our experiences by the Word of God. Because the Word of God is very clear that we are to give. Luke 6:38, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. Well, that sounds like a good thing. We don't have time to get into it right now, but it sounds good. And then in Acts 20:35, the words of Jesus himself, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So I think we all would agree that both by experience and through the Word of God, we would agree that, yes, giving is a good thing. Yet I think we also need to acknowledge that when it comes to giving, especially giving money away to the Lord's work, this could be and can be and is challenging to many of us. The question is why? Why? If we've experienced the joy from it, and if we're Christians and it's in God's Word and we know it's a good thing because God has revealed it's good in the Bible, why is giving so challenging for us? And I would say for some of us, it's challenging because we are skeptical. We're skeptical. We have seen the exploitation by crooked clergymen and crooked churches and crooked Christians who in the name of Jesus, who in the name of Christianity, they've exploited, they've perverted the Bible, and they've asked for donations only to be used on self-pleasure, on planes, on fancy hotels, on nice clothes. And so for a few of us, we're skeptical. Now, I don't think that is true for the majority of you in this room. Because I think the majority of you realize that there's crooks in all facets of society. There's crooked contractors, but we wouldn't categorize all contractors as being crooks. There's crooked businessmen, but we wouldn't say that all businessmen are crooks. There's crooked politicians. We'll stop there. We will stop there. But you get my point. Joking aside, you get my point. So I don't think for most of us, the fact that giving is a challenge to us, I don't think it's because we're skeptical. I think it's something much deeper and much more profound. And I think the reason why for many of us giving is such a hard thing to do is because of our hearts. Our hearts. Our hearts aren't really into it. I mean, we can sign off and say, yeah, giving is a good thing. We can see it in the Bible and say, yeah, God expects us to give. Yet at the end of the day, we sort of give begrudgingly or we give legalistically. In other words, there's a total disconnect between our donations and our desires. And so just like, for example, we might pay a bill to AEP or we pay a bill to Verizon. We say, well, I guess I got to pay my bill to God. And so we just sort of go through the motions with our hearts completely detached from the joy that could be ours, from partnering with God and His work. His gospel work, not only locally, but around the world and partnering with Him. We just sort of discount that or our hearts aren't into it. And so it's sort of the whole process leaves us joyless and with a lack of satisfaction. But this passage this morning, I think, gives us another way. It gives us God's way for giving. A way that I think if we follow it, these principles that I see in these four verses, I think will give us great joy and great satisfaction, which I think all of us want. If there's one thing all of us have in common, we want to be happy people. We want to be joyful people. And I'm here to tell you, based on the authority of God's Word, that when we give God's way, you will be joyful people. And I will be a joyful man. And that's what I want for myself, and that's what I want for you, and that's what I want for us as a church. So what does it mean to give God's way? If we're not to give legalistically, or if we're not to give begrudgingly, what does it mean to give God's way? Well, first of all, it means to give purposefully. Purposefully. And I'm getting that from verse 1. Let's look at that again. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. So Paul is stating a purpose here for this collection that he's gathering. And the purpose of this collection is to help poor believers. He calls them saints. If you're a Christian, you're a saint. Sainthood isn't something that is given to you from some higher authority. You are a saint. If you are a born-again Christian, you are a saint. And so the Apostle Paul is taking this collection and he's asking the church in Corinth to contribute to this collection to help these poor saints. Now, who are these poor saints? Well, we know from verse 3 that the money is going to Jerusalem. So that gives us a little bit of a clue who these poor saints are. These are Jewish Christians living in Jerusalem. Now, you need to know something about these Jewish Christians. You need to know something about just Jewish way of living and what it would mean for a Jew to leave Judaism and to convert to Christianity. To do that would be cutting oneself from this entire network of economic and social and emotional support. This is a huge deal. This was big. On top of that, we know from Acts that there was a famine in the land around this same time. Now, put these two things together. You are a Jewish Christian living in Jerusalem. There's a famine in the land. All of your emotional, all of your economical, all of your religious support is gone. That will lead to poverty. Have you ever seen real poverty? I mean, real poverty. Have you ever seen it? I've seen it a couple times. I've seen it in Tijuana, Mexico. People living in sheds. Filth running through the streets. And the same people washing their clothes with it. I've seen it in Bulgaria. Same thing. People, real people. People like you and me, people that also have dreams, living in filth, living in chicken coops, wondering where they're going to get their next meal. That's poor. And so these Jewish Christians, they are poor people. They're experiencing poverty that probably most of us have never experienced. And Paul has a heart for these people. He loves these people. He knows that the church started there in their headquarters. This was sort of like the, for lack of a better term, the Christian Mecca. This is where it all started, in Jerusalem. And so he cares about these people. And so he's going around. He's asking Gentile Christians, hey, don't forget about these people. They are important. They are important to where you're at today, Corinthians. And so he goes around in Macedonia. He has Christians in Philippi, in Berea, in Thessaloniki, and of course in Corinth. He says, I'm going to take this collection and together we're going to show these Jewish Christians that you as Gentiles, that you love them. And so that was a huge purpose behind this collection to care for the poor. But there's more to it. There's always more to it than just supplying the physical needs to people. Our purpose in giving is beyond that. We have a gospel-centered mission in our giving. And that's why one year later from when Paul wrote the verses that I read, he wrote 2 Corinthians. And he wrote these words, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 12 through 13. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. You see that? It's going beyond just the physical here. There's a greater purpose here. By their approval of this service, what's going to happen? They will glorify God. Why are they going to glorify God? Because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. You know what Paul's saying? He's saying because you, Corinthians, because you have received the grace of God and because you are bending that out to these Jewish Christians, they are going to glorify God through your service. They're going to honor God through your service. And they're gonna experience gospel grace and gospel kindness and gospel love like they've never experienced before. And that's the greater purpose for our giving. When you give here at BCF, you're not just giving to be giving. When you're giving, it pays for these lights and it pays for the power. Why? So that right now, in that wing of classrooms, you know what's going on? Our children are being taught the Bible. They're being taught about Jesus Christ. They're not being taught about moralism. They're being taught that they need a Savior. Why? Because in 10 or 15 or 20 years from now, they're going to be depressed, just like you're depressed. And they're going to go through loss. They're going to lose a best friend in an accident. They're going to see a brother or sister go through a divorce. And the gospel seeds that were sown in those rooms right there are going to come back and it's going to bear fruit. That's where your money's going. Your money's going to pay for 3 full-time elders. And I'm one of them. And what do? You're probably wondering, what do they do? You know what we do? We study the Bible. And we pray for you. And we go through the directory. And we look at your faces. And we say, I wonder how they're doing. And we prepare. When we preach, we prepare all week so we can come before you with gospel-centered messages because we love you. Your money's paying for that. You know where your money's going? Your money's going to support missionaries like Wendy. That's where your money's going. Many of us don't have the time, we don't have the skills, we don't have the calling to go where she's called to go. But you know what? You can support her and the other 40 plus missionaries who are both here locally and around the world through your money. You know where else your money's going? Your money's going to help people in need in this community. Every week I get phone calls from people from this community. Can you please help me? I can't pay my power bill. I cannot pay my rent. I am a single mom with 3 children. I can't do it. And so I say, please come. Come to the office. I want to meet you. I want to look at your face. I want to pray with you. And normally, we try to help them the best that we can. And I so wish you could be there with me. Because I'm representing you. We all can't be there. But in a way, you're commissioning me to be there. That's where your money is going to. And that's what it means to give purposefully. And I would say if there is a disconnect between your giving and what goes on here at this church, it's because your heart's not into it. It might be because you have no idea what's going on. Or it might mean that you don't have the desire to see the gospel advance and to see the gospel change lives. But once that grabs a hold of you, that's going to give you a whole different perspective on giving. So that's the first reason why, or the first way that we give. We give purposefully. The second way we give regularly. We give regularly. Look at verse 2 with me. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up. What's the first day of the week? It's Sunday. We gather to worship on Sunday because Sunday was the day that Jesus was raised from the dead. And we know that day as Easter, and we celebrate Easter once a year. But really, every Sunday should be a reminder to us that Jesus is alive, which should be another motivation for us to give, because we serve a living Savior. And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. And because He lives, I can have forgiveness of sin. And so a resurrected Jesus changes everything. And so the Apostle Paul here is saying that every time you get together, have a regular pattern of giving. Don't give haphazardly. Don't just walk into the church and try to look for a 10 spot or on a good day a 20 and think, oh, it's over. He's saying, think it through. Make it part of your regular life pattern. And I think it is so important that we do that. There's a really funny story told by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones was a famous Welsh preacher in the 20th century. He's a hero of mine. And if you've ever read any of his books, you know he didn't joke a lot. He was very serious. But on one occasion, when he was preaching on money, he shared this funny story. He shared the story of this farmer who came inside and shared with his wife and family that his cow had given birth to two calves, a red one and a white one. And this farmer was so elated and so happy, he tells his family, "I'm going to keep one for ourselves, and the other one I'm going to raise, and I'm going to give the proceeds to the Lord." Of course, his wife is very smart, very wise. She says, "Which one are you keeping for yourself? Which one are you giving to the Lord?" He says, "I don't need to make that decision right now. I'm going to raise them both, and in time I'll make that decision." Well, a few months later, he comes back in the house, dejected, sad. Wife says, "What's wrong?" He says, "The Lord's calf died." She says, "The Lord's calf died? I thought you didn't make that decision." He goes, Oh yeah, I made that decision. It was the white calf that was the Lord's, and it was the white calf that died." And Martin Lloyd-Jones went on to say, after his congregation chuckled just like you did, he said, "Why is it always the Lord's calf that dies? Why? Why isn't the fishing trip? Why doesn't that ever die? Why doesn't the clothes or the wardrobe, why doesn't that die? Why doesn't the nice restaurants or the symphony or the Broadway shows, why don't those things die?" I think one of the reasons is because we're not developing a regular pattern of giving. It's been real difficult for me. I'm going to be honest with you, going to this online giving. So I give online. I think it's very helpful for those who count the money. But I preferred giving with a check, because every time I wrote that check, I could think about the various ministries of this church. I could think about various people. I could think about missionaries. And I could then put it in a box. And now, even though I give regularly, it's hard, because it just kind of goes through without me ever seeing it. And this is very convicting to me, that I have to go back and make it a point not to just make it a task to just check it off legalistically, but to remember that this is a regular habit and it serves a very good purpose. Now, our passage talks about giving every Lord's Sunday. Most of us don't get paid once a week. We typically get paid once a month. I think the principle is just make it a regular part of your worship with God, which raises another question. How much should you and I give? That's always the big question, right? How much should we give? Should we give a certain percentage? Do we give based on our gross or our net? You're laughing. You want to laugh because you've asked that question. I've asked that. If I've given and then I've maybe made an investment, made a little money, do I have to give on that too? Sort of double up? And I just want to tell you, that's asking the wrong questions. That's completely missing the boat when we start asking those types of questions. And so the third thing that I want to bring to your attention is that we are also to give generously. That's how much you should give. You give generously. You give purposefully. You give regularly, but you also give generously. Look again at verse 2. "On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up." And then look at this little clause. "As he may prosper." As he may prosper. It does not mean so that you can prosper. That's not what that means. It means based on how God has blessed you, give. That's what that means. Eugene Peterson renders 1 Corinthians 16:2 this way. "Every Sunday, each of you make an offering and put it in a safe keeping. Be as generous as you can." J.B. Phillips puts the same verse this way. "On the first day of the week, let everyone put so much by him according to his financial ability." There's no coercion. There's no twisting of arms. There's no guilt trips. There's no set formula. Based on how God has blessed you, give. Just give wholeheartedly. Now, some of us are stuck on 10%. Now, 10% is from the Old Testament tithe. Now, if you actually go and study the tithe of the Old Testament, it's more like 20%, not 10%. But in the New Testament, sort of that percentage or the word tithe, it doesn't come up. And I think that is so liberating. Why? Because if you hit a little bump in the road financially, which all of us will, you can feel the freedom to pull back. You got to eat, right? You got to eat sometimes. And so you can feel just the liberty. I can't give as much. But you know what? If God is blessing you, then you give proportionally. And instead of saying, okay, I checked off on the 10% and I feel good about myself now and walk away in pride, you can say, well, I can give 20, 30. It doesn't even matter the percentage. I'm just going to give generously. It's so liberating. So what's the point? What's the point in all of this? Well, God tells us the point again in 2 Corinthians. He says this, and I quote, the point is this. What's the point related to our generosity? This is the point. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a, you got it, cheerful giver. Not a moody giver. A cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver. I want to be a cheerful giver. To give God's way means to give purposefully, regularly, generously. And lastly, to give God's way means to give confidently. Confidently. And again, let's face it. There's been a lot of scandals within Christianity in the last few years. And I love just the simplicity and the reasonableness and the thoughtfulness of verses 3 and 4. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me. I love it. What's Paul saying? He's saying, I'm going to set up a network of accountability and send me a few names of trusted people, and they're going to carry this money to Jerusalem. Accountability. And what else did he say? He says, it's going to be a group. They are the ones who are going to do it. It's not just one person. It's going to be a group. It makes such good sense. And it's for their sake as well as the sake of the Jewish Christians. He sort of removes the temptation of maybe putting the hand in the money bag. In case you're wondering, here at this church, our giving, we don't pass a collection plate. There's boxes out in the foyer there. There's a box out in the church. It's between you and the Lord. You can give online if you want. If you give here, we have a group, a team, who then open those boxes and hold each other accountable and count and cross-check. We also have a wonderful treasurer. Okay, it's a her, and she's a treasurer, okay? And her name is June Gardner, and she's amazing. She's so good. She's so diligent behind the scenes, just making sure that all the numbers add up, making sure that she has a receipt to show for every purchase. It's wonderful. You can feel, when you give to this church, you can feel confident that your funds are going to go to the intended destination. So what does it mean to give God's way? It means to give purposefully. It means to give regularly. It means to give generously. And it means to give confidently, which now brings us to the table. Brings us to the table. Because the only way that you and I can take hearts that are cold and hearts that are greedy and hearts that are selfish, the only way we can take those kind of hearts and move them so that we will be generous people is that if the power of the gospel changes us. John 6:51, Jesus says, I'm the living bread. I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. That's what he did. That's what our Savior did. He gave his life so that you and I can have life. And when that captures our hearts, what do? We just want to take that generosity and we want to direct it to others. And so this morning, if you're convicted because you're not giving God's way, I want you to know that you can come to this table and find forgiveness. You don't have to get your act straight before you come to the table. You come to the table as a repentant sinner and you say, God, help me, please. I love money, God. Money is my master and I don't want it to be. So I'm coming to your table asking you to please forgive me and help me. And you come to the table and you say, God, thank you for sending Jesus who gave his life away so that I can be ransomed. And you walk away from this table with joy and hope that you can give God's way. And so in just a minute, we're going to take communion. I'm going to ask the servers to come up. While they're coming up, let's just take about 30 seconds and just be quiet before the Lord and just pray to him, either confessing or praying or praising him for being such a giving God.